Get your Bible out and turn to Psalm chapter number 68. Psalm chapter number 68. Psalm 68. Once you find Psalm 68, we're going to find verse number 1. Psalm chapter 68. We're going to start with verse number 1. Psalm 68. Verse number 1. Why don't you do this for me? Why don't you stand with me? And we'll just stand out of respect for the Word of God. And here we go. Psalm 68. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Verse 6 is the one we'll use to help us get started tonight. And it says, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Our lesson will be simple, but true, factual, necessary. God, we do not want to be rebellious toward you. We don't want to be rebellious toward those things to which we are to submit. Now, God, bless us with your presence tonight. Oh, each of us have personalities, but our personalities are not enough. We need your Holy Spirit to influence our thinking tonight. Bless us, please, and help us to be better because we came to church. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Here we see that God talks about the rebellious. The rebellious. You say, well, preacher, what in the world exactly is rebellion? Well, rebellion, the dictionary would tell you that rebellion is a resistance to authority. Now, understand, folks, God is the ultimate authority. And we should never resist our God. Rebellion is a rejection of authority. We should never reject what God wants in our lives. The word rebellion is actually, as we use it in our culture, it's actually a Latin word that means to wage war. To wage war. Now notice, in verse number 6, God was talking about the rebellious. But in verse number 1, if you've seen it there, the Bible says this. It said, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Understand something. In verse 1, it's talking about God's enemies. In verse 1, it's talking about people that actually hate God. And then we get down to verse number 6, and God says that there's a rebellion against me. And remember, the word rebellion, in its Latin root form, it means waging war. Now, I don't know of a better illustration than, you know, there are sometimes parents have moments where they're struggling with their teenagers. And parents will say, you're being rebellious. Whether we want to face it or not, we almost feel like there's some war being waged at home. And that's what rebellion is. There's a waging of war. And that, if you will, is destructive behavior. And that's why we have lesson number 1 on rebellion. And rebellion is a destructive behavior. And God said, he said, listen, don't reject me. Don't resist me. There are many references in the scripture to the subject of rebellion. For instance, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2 says this, Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Don't rebel against God. Don't resist God. You say, we sometimes take it too lightly. If someone's rebelling against God, it's virtually waging war against him. We shouldn't ever wage war against God. Young people, you shouldn't wage war against mom and dad. I know you, that sounds harsh, but that's really, that's what rebellion is. You and I, there are certain laws that we're to follow. We shouldn't wage war against those laws. Let me read you another verse. Daniel chapter 9, verse number 5 says, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." Here God is saying, you're rejecting my truth. You're resisting my truth. And he said, that's rebellion. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 9. Another passage of scripture about the subject of rebellion. The Bible says, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land." Over and over again, we see this word rebellion. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23, it says this, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Wow. Now, we should not be guilty of rebellion. Hey, rebellion goes way back. Let me give you some really quick, and you'll remember these, some of these stories. If we go back to Isaiah chapter 14, you know that Satan at one time was in heaven. His name was Lucifer, and he rebelled against heaven and against God in heaven, and he got cast out. Hey, think about it. Pretty destructive behavior. Man, look at the mess that that original rebellion caused. So you've got Lucifer. He rebels against heaven in Isaiah chapter 14. There's the story of a man named Korah in Numbers chapter 16. And Korah rebelled against Moses, the man of God. Oh, thousands of people ended up getting hurt. It was destructive behavior. Jonah rebelled. Jonah, and I told my Sunday school class on Sunday morning, we talked about backsliding for a moment, but when Jonah rebelled, there are a lot of reasons why, but I think Jonah just didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. And that gets us all, by the way. You know, we come up with all these ulterior motives or reasons why. I think the biggest issue is sometimes you just don't want to do what God wants you to do. And God said, now don't rebel against me. Well, I'm not trying to start a fight with you, God, but I'm just not going to do what you want me to do. God said, them's fighting words, buddy. Don't do that to me. So Jonah in Jonah chapter 1 rebelled. Korah in number 16 rebelled. Lucifer, the original rebeller in Isaiah chapter 14. King Saul, he rebels in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Absalom rebelled against his dad in 2 Samuel chapter 15. We were talking about it in the Sunday school teachers meeting earlier. He ends up dying over his rebellion. He hurt a lot of people. There's two guys by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah. And they rebelled against the work of God and rebelled against a king and created a mess in Nehemiah chapter 2. Rebellion. I think we take it too lightly. I think we should take rebellion more seriously. And you know what happens, folks, in our culture? There's so much rebellion going around everywhere. I mean, it's just everywhere today. And it's sad. So we think that, well, you know, if our culture, if there's rebellion 7 days a week in our culture, if I only rebel 2 or 3 days a week, I'm not doing so bad compared to our culture. Hey, don't compare yourself to our culture. Compare yourself to the expectation that God places on our life. And we're not supposed to look at the world to determine what quality of Christianity to practice. We're to look to Jesus. And if you compare yourself to Jesus, you'll realize we're running behind. We're not ahead, we're running behind. But rebellion's a serious thing, and we need to take it seriously. In Psalm 68:6, the word rebellion refers to those who have turned away from right. So there's a right that they ought to do, and they have resisted that right. They have rejected that right, and God said, don't be rebellious. You need to stop. Don't reject or resist the right. Now, there are a lot of areas in which you and I, as Christians, could be rebellious. Children, don't rebel against mom and dad. You say, why? Well, I just need to tell you, that's dangerous. That's destructive behavior. When you rebel against mom and dad, there are consequences. You say, well, will I get grounded? Will I get time out? Would to God that's all I got when I was growing up. It wasn't just time out. I didn't have to go just stand in a corner. I was lucky if I could stand at all, or maybe I wanted to stand rather than sit. But Children can rebel against parents. Let me warn you, that's a destructive behavior. People can rebel against laws and rules and guidelines that are set up. You just have to face it. I'm old school Bible. Wives can rebel against husbands. And if your wife's bigger than you, I guess husbands can rebel against wives. Subjects can rebel against kings, and followers can rebel against leaders. A private in the military could rebel against a sergeant. I hear it's not a real good idea, but they can rebel. Now, I'm not your dictator. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm God. God tells me I'm to lead the church. I'm a shepherd, but I have to lead the church. There can be times when people rebel against the man of God. Christians rebel against God. I think we take it too glibly. I think we take it too lightly. And I think what would really mess up the purpose of this lesson is that you sit there and think about all the people around you that are rebelling. I think you'd be better off thinking about you. Yes, parents, you'll miss it if you sit there and say, my kid's listening. I hope my kid's listening. God's hoping his kid's listening. Yes, God's hoping you'll listen. And so I'm sure it applies to a lot of different people, but no matter how bad you want someone here to listen, God wants you to listen even worse than that. Let's make sure that you and I are not rebellious, not rebellious. And I think we kind of live in a day and age where it's almost to some in our society a feather in their cap if they're rebellious. I rebelled. I'm somebody, not in God's economy. God doesn't want us to rebel. He wants us to submit. The lesson's simple tonight. We'll have part two next week, but let me give you a few points. Number one, we should not rebel against God's Word. Yes, sir. We should not rebel against God's Word. Listen to a scripture. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 18 says, "The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against His commandment." I rebelled against His commandment. Now, there are a lot of different words used in the Bible to refer to the Bible. God will call His Word the words. He'll call them precepts. He'll call them commands. He'll call them His thoughts, His ideas. It's all God's Word. And that's what it's referring to. And so when you hear the word command, that doesn't mean just the Ten Commandments. So you all know, there's far more than ten. We got a whole book of commandments. And there were 10 of them that got a little extra attention, but they're all written by the same God, and they're all His commands. But He said, don't rebel against my commandments. He's talking about my word. I think sometimes we rebel against the word of God by refusing to obey it. We fight its influence in our lives. I wonder how many times the preaching can go on, and like I said a moment ago, we are so much thinking about other people that needed the Word of God that was taught, we missed it when God was trying to speak to us. Don't rebel against the Word of God. We rebel by rejecting its proper place in our life. We rebel by procrastinating our obedience. You know, there are all sorts of people that are taught something that's right and they know they ought to do it, but they put it off. Folks, can I tell you the best thing to do is obey God right away? You know, you probably should obey God the way you would want your child to obey you. Right. Listen, if you told your child to take out the trash and your child said, "I will get to that. I'm going to pray about it for the next 2 to 3 weeks, Dad." And you would say, "That's not how it's going to work, bud. I'm sorry, buddy. I'll have to learn." I use that all the time. I'm going to have to be careful. I've got a buddy in the church now. We don't have any Macs in here, do we? All right. If your child turned to you and said, "I'll get back with you, going to pray about it, give me 2 or 3 weeks, let me see how I feel about it." You'd say, we're not going to work that way, son. I wonder how many times you and I learn something from the Word of God and we put God off and we're going to pray about obeying what He's already told us to do. You can't exalt prayer above obedience. And so we rebel. We rebel by procrastinating. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Never make people have less confidence in the Bible because of you. Let's help people have more confidence in the Bible because of us. Amen. Rebellion. Let's be careful that we do not rebel against the Word of God. whether it's in our own Bible reading, if it's in something that we've been taught or that's been preached, don't rebel against the Word of God. God sees rebellion. It's like an act of war. And that's why He says, don't do that. Don't declare war in regard to me and my Word. Don't resist me. Don't reject me. Secondly, we should not rebel against the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 63, verse number 10 says, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. Here God said, somebody rebelled against my Holy Spirit. Now, let me make something clear to you. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, they always agree. They don't have fusses. They don't have disagreements. They're in 100% unison. They have unity. But the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And the Holy Spirit will tell us to do things. And God said here, don't rebel against my Holy Spirit. You say, well, how? Well, I think we rebel by ignoring the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit leads us. I think we rebel when we do not submit to the Holy Spirit's influence. I think we rebel when we grieve Him. Don't break the Holy Spirit's heart. Boy, you stay in unity and listen to the Spirit of God. I think we rebel. The Bible uses the word grieving the Holy Spirit. Then the Bible uses the word quenching. The Holy Spirit's like a fire. And quench, if you quench a fire, you put the fire out. You minimize it. You don't let it have its power, its heat. Hey, let me tell you something. I think there's sometimes God is wanting to work in somebody's life and get them on fire for God and get them energized and make them want to go do something for God. And then we throw the water on it. And what's that? That's the quenching of the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you do that, God said, you're rebelling against my Spirit. It's almost a waging of war. God takes it seriously. We rebel when we're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Bible, God compares the Holy Spirit to a dove. A dove is very sensitive. A dove can be spooked quite easily. Now, let me tell you, you and I, we need to be far more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit know you're willing. Some of the best advice I could give you before you walk in the back door of this church, you ought to say in your heart to the Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, when I get into church, I want my heart to be tender. If you want to tell me something, if you want to speak to me, if you want to change me, I'm willing. That's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Folks, don't fight God convicting you. Sometimes we fight it. We just fight it. Don't fight the conviction of God. Why? Well, that's what rebellion against the Holy Spirit is. It's fighting conviction. Look, when God's spoken to your heart and told you there's something about you that needs to change for the better, and you fight it, God said, you're rebelling against me, my Word, and my Spirit, trying to do what's best for you. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand. Do you know that God wants better for you than you want for yourself? And with that in mind, why would we ever want to do less for ourselves than what God would be willing to do for us? Folks, you won't take better care of you than God will take care of you. You don't have a better plan for you than God's plan for you. And so, don't rebel. Don't rebel. Don't wage war against right things. Don't rebel. From God's Word, and don't rebel against the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, I would be careful in regard to rebellion and what we'd call wrong counsel. Wrong counsel. Let me give you a scripture. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 1, the Bible says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. It says they're rebellious, and they're seeking counsel, but they're seeking the wrong kind of counsel. You say, what would this mean? Well, we rebel by getting counsel from the lost. You know, folks, lost people don't know how to live. If you get counsel about how to live your life from somebody that's going to live their life and die and go to hell, that wasn't real smart. I mean, look, if you're not smart enough to get saved, I'm going to be real careful asking you about how to live my life. And so saved people ought to seek counsel from saved people, from God's Word. Now, that doesn't mean, hey, well, I think we ought to be kind to lost people. I think, and that's part of our testimony. I think we ought to be good to lost people. But I don't think we get our counsel from lost people. Then we rebel sometimes by getting no counsel. You know, every once in a while, God probably wants us to seek advice. I think there are times when we ought to go and seek advice because God teaches counsel in the Bible. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. What am I talking about tonight? Destructive behavior. Rebellion, it's destructive. It's a behavior that will hurt us. So counsel brings safety. Counsel will bring safety, which is the opposite of destruction. So if you listen to the verse that I read a moment ago from Isaiah 31, it talked about rebellious people that we're not seeking counsel properly. We rebel when we seek counsel from the lost. We may be rebelling when we won't get counsel. Maybe we rebel when, and let me warn you, I'd be careful getting your counsel from Christians that are living in the flesh, or Christians that are carnal, or Christians that are not right with God. If you're going to get counsel from another Christian, if I were you, I'd find one that's on fire for God, and I'd probably even find one that maybe knew a little bit about the Bible. You know, two teenagers that are saved going to the same church, if they go getting counsel from each other, it might not be the best in the world. It might want to get counsel from someone that's a little older, that knows the Bible a little bit more. But I know people that will seek counsel from a Christian, but that Christian is living in the flesh and they're carnal, which means you're getting carnal, fleshly counsel. So it's not just I didn't get my counsel from the lost. It's, I also did not get my counsel from weak, carnal, saved people. I think we can rebel by seeking counsel from the carnal, saved. I think we can rebel about counsel, some people just want to go get counsel, and they'll look and look and look until they can find somebody that they know agrees with them. Then they go ask what they already know they're going to hear. That's not wise. You say, well, what should you do? I'd get counsel from the wisest, most spiritual person you know. So, well, they're going to disagree with me. Then you need someone to disagree with you. You'll self-destruct if you're not careful. And that's what God is saying. He's saying don't rebel in regard to the need of counsel. I think sometimes we unwisely follow our own counsel. You know, if you can't find somebody to agree with you, you can agree with you. And you just look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm the smartest guy I know. I might as well just do this. And you may break your heart or hurt yourself or hurt a lot of people. So God said, be careful. This thing called rebellion. He said, don't rebel. We shouldn't rebel against God's Word. We should not rebel against the Holy Spirit of God. We should not rebel against right counsel and godly counsel and the need of counsel. Then, number four, I think that we should not rebel in our thoughts. Don't rebel in your thoughts. Let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65, verse number 2, it says, I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which have walked in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. There was a rebellious people, and when God is describing them, he said, they're rebellious in their thoughts. May I explain something to you? Inward rebellion eventually becomes outward rebellion. Right. Have you ever heard someone maybe describe someone as a silent rebel? They're quiet, but what's going on inside them is rebellious. Listen, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what God is saying, if you put a bunch of it on the inside of you, sooner or later, it's going to come out. And so, and you know, what's dangerous is if you have some self-control, if you have some, maybe you're a person of what we would call human character, if you will. So you've got some self-control. You think that you can be rebelling on the inside, and because you've got a lot of self-control, you can rebel and you just keep it in there and keep it covered up. You're feeding a monster on the inside of you. You feed that monster long enough, it will take you over. It will come out, and you'll find yourself publicly behaving like you have been entertaining yourself privately. That's why in Isaiah he said there's a rebellious people and they're rebellious in their own thoughts. And that's usually where most of it comes from anyway. We get it started on the inside, and if the right person comes along and flips the right switch, then it comes out on the outside. Be careful what you let go on the inside of you. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You say, preacher, the church believes something and it's in the scripture and I believe it. I'm practicing it, but I hate it. I'll tell you something that's going to happen to you probably sooner or later. If you're rebellious on the inside, that'll probably get the best of you. That rebellion will eventually come to the outside of you. It'll work its way out. That's why. And now, listen. If a young person, if someone said, "Well, if my kid won't obey me and obey me happily, then I don't care if they obey." Now, I disagree with that. If my child won't obey with a good attitude, but they'll obey, I'll take it. Now, I want the good attitude. I'm not minimizing the good attitude. But it's not a matter of, okay, if you can't take the trash out with a good attitude, don't take the trash out. No, you can pout all the way, buddy. I'm sorry, buddy. Mac, you can pout all the way to taking the garbage out, but I want you to obey. You're going to obey with a bad attitude, but you're going to go ahead and obey. Listen, if you and I are rebellious on the inside, you better be careful. It is going to get the best of you. God, now, you say, well, I'm rebellious on the inside. Why don't I just go ahead and let it out? That is not the purpose of the way the Bible's written, nor the way I'm teaching. I'm trying to tell you, if it's in there, let's get it fixed, what's on the inside of you, before it comes out and hurts you. I'm not saying let's go ahead and justify an outward misbehavior because you've been thinking about it on the inside. But he said this rebellious group, and in Isaiah 65, it's their thoughts. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You say, "Oh, preacher, I do struggle with some rebellions in my life." I'll tell you one of the best things you could do. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." If I were you, and you know that you've got some rebellious things going on inside you, I would find scripture about the areas of your rebellion and commit that scripture to memorization so you're filling yourself with good. Look, if I can get a whole bunch of good inside me, the Bible concept of that which is on the inside is going to come out is true if I can put good in. If I put good in, then good come out. If I'm putting rebellion in, then eventually rebellion is going to come out. And the Bible says you overcome evil with good, and there's nothing any better than the Word of God. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you've got rebellion and it's stewing on the inside, I'd be getting me some scripture about the areas of your rebellion. I'd probably start memorizing it so that that scripture, that goodness, can go to work on the rebellion that's inside of you, and it may salvage your life. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Hey, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. If you want to control your inward rebellion, you have to do it through the word of God. You have to do it through the scripture. Hey, and let me tell you, everybody here deals with some rebellion. This isn't just for a few backslidden people and a couple teenagers. Everybody's always talking about teenagers being rebellious. I know more adults that are rebellious than I do teenagers. You say, why do you say that? Because adults have had a whole lot more training and they know a whole lot more about how they ought to act. Teenagers are going through a difficult part of life. They're no longer children and they're not full-fledged old fogies yet. They're kind of halfway in between. They're kind of weird sometimes. But adults, though, look, to him that knoweth too good to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I think sometimes teenagers are trying to still figure out what's right and wrong. But you and I, as adults, I think we kind of already know what's right and wrong. We tend to have a heavier rebellion in us, I think, than children do. So, rebellion, what is it? It's resistance of authority. It's rejection of authority. And God said, don't rebel against me. Don't push me away. How could we do it? We could rebel against him by rebelling against the Word of God in our lives. We could rebel against him by rebelling against the Spirit of God. How could we rebel against him? By not using counsel or counsel the wrong way. How could we rebel? In our thoughts. Let me give you another. We should not rebel by refusing to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. We should not rebel by refusing to listen to the preaching of God's Word. Let me give you a verse. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9. It says that this is a rebellious people, a lying children, that will not hear the law of the Lord. Isaiah is preaching here. And he said, I've got some people that are rebelling against the preaching of the Word of God. Now, let me tell you something. Keep yourself under the preaching of the Word of God. Keep yourself under the preaching of the Word of God. I think there are times when people begin to rebel against God, so they begin to rebel against church. They begin to rebel against where God's promoted. Let's face it. Y'all come to church here. I'm always talking about Jesus and God and the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to talk about it over and over and over again. When you push that away, you're rebelling. You may be rebelling against the preaching, but boy, we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We preach God. We preach Jehovah God, a holy God. And God said, when you reject that preaching, you're almost waging war over what's right and what's pure and what's clean. Hey, get in church all you can. If you're not well, God understands that. But get in church all you can. If your work schedule keeps you out of church, God, He understands that to a degree. And you've heard me say this before. If you can't ever come to church because of work, quit your job. Quit your job. God never intended for anyone to never be in church. If that's not the will of God. Now, God understands if people have to miss some church because of work here and there. I think God will understand that. But I'm here to tell you, don't rebel against the preaching of the Word of God. That takes place at church. So get in church. Hey, do you know there are people that can sit in a service like this and in their heart be rebelling all the time the preacher's preaching, deciding they're not going to listen to a thing? Here's what some of you think. I've heard this before. Same old, same old. Yada, 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 yada. Let's get out of here. Want to go home and watch TV. You're here for the social aspect of church, not the spiritual aspect. Hey, and I'm really glad for the social part too. I want you to have friends and have fellowship. But we didn't mainly come here to tell each other what we had at McDonald's today at lunch. We came here to get fed from the Word of God, and the preaching of the Word of God is the primary purpose that we open the doors of this place. But be careful, because we can actually be rebelling by shutting our ears off and not listening to what's being preached. In a church like ours, because we're so convinced the Bible is the final authority and we're so convinced that we're supposed to do what God said, we get extremely well trained about how to live. And it's not because I'm preacher, it's because of the book that's being preached and that has been preached here for years. We're trained beyond our desire to live. But if you're not careful, you'll rebel against the Word of God. You rebel by not coming to hear it. You can rebel by not listening while you're here. Hey, boys and girls and teenagers, look right up here. That's one of the reasons why Pastor Owens will tell you, stop talking during church. That's why I'll say, don't play during church. That's why I'll say, look up here at me. Why? I do not want you to rebel against the preaching of the Word of God. I don't want you to rebel against the Word of God. I don't want you to rebel against the Spirit of God. And if we are not listening to it, we're rejecting it. And God said, you're resisting. What is the rejection or resistance of the preaching? God said, it's rebellion. He said, that is destructive. You are waging war on right. You say, but preacher, I didn't intend it. Well, maybe that's why I'm teaching it tonight. God sees it as waging war against right. When you rebel against the Word of God, when you rebel against the Spirit of God, when you rebel against right counsel, when you rebel in your thoughts, when we rebel, we are waging war on right. And that's, boy, that's a dangerous thing to do, young people. That's one reason why mom and dad do not want you to be rebellious. You're waging war on right. That's a dangerous way to live, young people. Hey, when you hear preaching and you won't act upon it, you're rebelling against it. When you hear preaching and you decide to not let it correct you, that's a rejection. That's a resistance. And so you understand, you might be resisting my teaching, but you're resisting His authority.
Right.
Say, well, preacher, I just don't like you. Okay, I'm sorry that you don't, but let me explain something. You better like God. Yeah. If you don't like His spokesman, I'm a weak, frail guy. I could understand why somebody would not like me. I understand that completely. But I'm here as a representative for the great God of the universe. And if you think you're rejecting me, if I preach something that's in the Bible and you reject it, you're in far worse shape than what you think. So I just don't like Owens. Well, you better be careful if you're rejecting the God that's being taught. That's a dangerous thing. It's probably a dangerous thing to be rejecting the preacher too, according to the Bible. But listen, don't reject. Don't resist. Don't rebel. Don't fight the verses that apply to you. Don't fight those. Don't resist them. So, when I think about Lucifer, all the way back in Isaiah chapter 14, he resisted. Do you understand? He waged war in heaven. What do you get out of it? Hell. God is saying rebellion brings destruction. You look at every story in the Bible where there was rebellion, there was a price to pay, you lose something. And that's not just because God was looking for some good stories for story time and illustrations for preachers in the Bible. That is a concept of God. It is a truth of God. If you rebel against right, there's a price to pay because God sets a premium on right. And so if our society's all about let's rebel, you put a feather in your cap because you don't do what you're told and you do what you want and not what's right, let me tell you something, there's a price to pay for that. And folks, it is right to submit to right. You say, does that make me weak? Personally, I think it makes you strong. Someone that submits to God is strong. Someone who submits to the Bible is strong. Someone who submits to the Holy Spirit is strong. So, you know, if there's a good teenager in here that's behaving themselves, and then maybe in our midst there's some teenager that's a jerk, and the jerk says, oh yeah, you just do everything your daddy says and do everything that the Bible says, and they mock and tease another good teenager. Let me tell you, to the teenager that's a jerk, the kid that's obedient and submissive is stronger and more intelligent than you spiritually. Strength is obedience. Rejection and rebellion is weakness. You say, well, I'm not sure about that. Okay, who do you think is strongest, God or the devil? Well, God is. God's total obedience. The devil's total rebellion. Strength is in obedience and submission. And so, the series for a few weeks is on destructive behavior. Lesson one tonight, rebellion. Next week, we're going to talk about rebellion a little bit more. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I do not know I'm born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? And I will. I'll pray for you. All right. If you say, I'm saved. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I've asked Jesus to save me. I know I'm going to heaven. And I'm not ashamed of it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Just say, yeah, sure. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Now, the subject of rebellion is good for us all. Far be it as a thought that this is not a lesson for teenagers at all. it probably applies more for adults, who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I see, I've been challenged. I see something. I think I can grow by it. But I believe God has spoken to my heart, even about rebellion as a Christian. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure, lots of hands. You can put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. I'll signal the pianist. We'll begin to play. We'll stand. We won't take a long time. But don't be worrying about everybody else. Just think about you. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and just get on your knees? And maybe you need to come and say, God, help me. I don't want to be rebellious against you. And you know the variety of ways that it's possible. If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come. There are people coming already. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If the pianist will begin to play, if you need the altar, you come. The Lord is righteous, but don't rebel against His commandments. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Wow, that's powerful. That is powerful. Rebellion, a Latin word, meaning to wage war, a resistance against authority, a resistance or a rejection of right or leadership. So I don't want to get hurt. Let me promise you something. Submitting to God is the safest thing in the world. Resisting God is dangerous. It's dangerous. Ushers, if you have prayer sheets, we'll make sure they get distributed to anybody that needs one in a moment. So why don't you prepare for that?